WWIB on a Monday morning, the WIB Wake Up Show. Great to have you aboard. Great to be back with you here. August catch and match. Had a friend, Brian Christensen. Good morning. If you're listening, he was just like, how'd you get off for a week for August catch and match? Couldn't grief. You got to get back and raise money for WIB Incorporated. All right, Brian, I'm here. I'm here, so thank you. Jason Kanz is here as well. Best 5 minutes of the day. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. I'm glad to have you back, too.
I'm not going to complain about getting up early. I don't know that anybody did that, but I'm just saying it does take some getting used to, though. I think my alarm went off at 3:30, and I may have lied in bed till close to 4. So there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, all right.
No, it was really good to talk with Caleb and Hillary, but it's just good to hear your voice again.
So you had some development since we last convened together here on the radio. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so over the last month or so, maybe not quite that long, I had kind of what felt like a little bit of a flutter in my upper chest. And so I had talked with one of my doctors about it, and he listened to my heart. He said it sounded fine. And then I talked to my regular doctor, and he said, you know what, let's get a EKG and a Holter monitor. So over the weekend, I got to wear a heart monitor just to kind of see what's going on. And apparently I have an extra heartbeat that pops up once in a while. And so we're going to find out more about that. I would certainly welcome people's prayer around that. But it's, I think a little bit of anxiety provoking, not knowing quite what's going on with that. So, yeah.
It kind of, it hits your belief system. You go, all right, tap into those things I say, yeah. I believe. Now they're being tested, right? So
right, precisely. Yeah. So, again, I think it could be next to nothing, and it could be more significant. And just that unknowing piece is difficult, I think, sometimes to wade through.
There is a book that N.T. Wright came out with, I think he wrote it just in April, called God and the Pandemic. You've posted about it some, and I haven't had a chance to listen or read it, but would you kind of share with us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so N.T. Wright was, I think people might be familiar with his name.
He's one of the best-known current theologians, right?
Right, one of the best-known current theologians. And so he had written an article in Time magazine about how to respond to the pandemic right away when it started, and it was picked up by a publisher and asked him to kind of get this project up and running. And so N.T. Wright wrote this book on living in the midst of kind of this unknown and how do we love as kingdom citizens. And it seems to me to be a really balanced perspective between being wise, listening to what we're hearing, but also to this commitment to love people well, I think is such an important part of this. You know, our primary call as kingdom citizens, as Christians, is to look for ways to love the people who are the most vulnerable. And to figure out how do we go about doing that, even in the midst of all this other stuff. And I think sometimes that gets lost in the politicization of everything that's going on, as we forget that our mission is to love people with the love of Christ. And N.T. Wright does a really good job of presenting that in that little book.
All right, so God and the Pandemic, look for it either as an audio book or a fairly short read, and some good thoughts in that. Now, I was talking with someone yesterday about just...
I would just add, the audiobook is narrated by N.T. Wright, which is a gift in itself. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just in general, people dealing with the pandemic, I mean, and just so many things. I mean, at different times this year, it's felt like the Exodus plagues, you know?
Yeah,
and
right.
You and I have that conversation in terms of how should Americans view themselves? Is this, are we Jerusalem or Babylon, right? And so,
right.
But it feels like this is Egypt. I mean, it just feels like the torrent. And now, for instance, New Orleans looking at tropical storms. And what do you, just a final word, I guess, as someone who's a neuropsychologist. I mean, for people who are just like, I'm looking for a good day, and it feels like most of them are bad. What do you say to that?
Well, I think one of the things that would be good for us to get into the practice of is trying to live in the present and maybe living with what's going on in our immediate environment. How do we love the people right around us? I think sometimes anxiety can sweep over us when we try and look at the whole nation, the whole world, what's going on. And you know, we feel out of control. And that's partly because we are.
Mm-hmm.
We have to move back to trust in the goodness and the sovereignty of God, regardless of what's happening. And, you know, I think to bring that stuff to him, but also
that's
to
good.
Live right where we're at right now.
Yeah, that's good. We'll close with this. You and I are often apart on Sunday mornings of this 9 o'clock hour interactive discussion, and we usually begin with, how are you? Or sometimes the question lately is, what's bothering you? And mine was four words yesterday. Powerlessness is really frustrating. So those are my four. So, yes, I hear you.
Yeah.
We're not helpless, but we are powerless. And the 12 steps point that out. Thank you, Jason.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Yeah. Remember him in your prayers as he's going to be kind of waiting on this heart monitoring he had done over 48 hours over the weekend. Well, it's a Monday morning. Halvo, glad to be back with you here, WWIB. And for the first time in a couple weeks, let's check in. Let's make a phone call. Monday morning call to Michigan. Drew Fralick, he's a counselor and a comedian wearing a couple of hats. And he was a part of like a comedy writers. It was just like an event I had not heard of something like this before. Drew, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah. This is a new concept. You say comedy and counseling. This was called the Works in Progress Writers Retreat for Comics, and it was basically combining counseling and comedy together.
Wow!
So meeting during the day and having like the equivalent of a counseling session with these comedians, but rather than kind of looking for a therapeutic outcome, trying to get the funny out of the pain, And then we had a nightly performance each night of the workshop, so Thursday through Sunday. So we just finished up last night, but it was quite good.
So, I mean, in this age of, interracial working together, I mean, that was quite evident, it seemed like.
Yeah, we had four of us. So we had Josiah, who you know.
Yep.
K-Webb is a comedian from Jacksonville, Florida, and then Rob Stalky flew out from New York.
Hmm.
And, the crowds were, we did a diverse set of crowds. We did one night was kind of like a rural audience. A couple of nights were in the city of Detroit, and it was good. It was a good mix of people, and it was a lot of fun.
So when you talk about, I've never heard of anything like this before in terms of comedy writers, comedians coming together, working on their writing, but then I didn't even know. Like, did you, when you talk about their pain, like Louis Anderson was a comedian for many years, and then didn't he host Family Feud for a while? But the idea of kind of his pain, I think his dad was an alcoholic and all that. And so, and probably that's true more often than we would expect in terms of comedy writers kind of turning to comedy out of their own pain, right?
Yeah, and I think that started comedy and I started doing counseling at the same time. And so that's kind of the unique thing that I add to the equation is a lot of people who are comics, they want to talk about these deeper, maybe more painful parts of their story, but it's kind of hard to access. So we spent a lot of time just talking and writing, analyzing, getting into it. It's a fresh concept.
do you help when you met with people then, when you met with these comedians, were you helping them see what their own personal pain, or is a combination of that as well as, because good grief, we look around in society and there's pain everywhere we look, right?
Yeah, mostly it was just helping them work through their own stuff, and then trying to, it's different than counseling, not trying to get them to, have some therapy breakthrough, but how do you turn this into something that would be interesting for an audience to hear, which in turn would be helpful for you to tell? So
that's great. That's really cool. Talk about turning lemons into lemonade. There you go, right?
Right. Yeah, it's a good time. It's a good time.
Interesting stuff. All right. Well, my big thing, heading to Tennessee on vacation, I imagine we'll talk more when Caleb and Hillary and I kind of sum up our weekend, and I was away from it. the best thing about it, we did whitewater rafting, which was cool, but I ziplined for the first time. And is that ever fun? Have you ever done that before?
Ziplining, yeah, that's terrifying. What was that like?
It's like flying. It's the closest thing to flying I ever experienced. I mean, it's really fun. So
okay. You're not afraid of heights?
Not really, no. And the big thing was jumping off the platform for the first time. But, I mean, you know, they kind of went through the specifics and ways to but it was it definitely stands out to me, at least presently, as a good metaphor going forward. Like, hey, in life, just step out and trust the Lord. You know, step out and trust the Lord.
And hope that the line is attached. Right?
Exactly. Thanks, Drew. We'll talk to you next week, WWIB. Monday morning in Michigan, and that's interesting, isn't it? The idea of comedy writers working together and comedy and counseling, and Drew mixes it together as good as anybody. Good to have you aboard here, the WIB Wake Up Show for a Monday, and of course, this is usually our weekend recap, and this is the day that the anniversary of the television show. Remember this one, Hillary? Facts of Life.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Is it from 1979?
Bad to take the facts of life. Yes, facts of life.
So I thought that could be our background here.
There
this
you
morning.
Go.
Yeah,
I
Charlotte
love it.
Ray. She was the redheaded woman, kind
yes,
of in charge.
Yes, in charge of the.
And she's
yep.
from Shorewood, Wisconsin,
really?
Suburb of Milwaukee. Yeah,
oh, I didn't know that.
And Lisa Welchel. She's been on Focus in the Family. She's written, among other books, she had one called Creative Correction.
Okay.
For parental discipline. So
nice.
Anyhow, that's in the background here this morning. So, recapping the weekend, or maybe the week vacation-wise.
You go week. I think week.
I would say the highlight, we went to Tennessee, the Smoky Mountains, and we have some relatives who have a timeshare, so we were able to stay some of the time. So, that helped.
Mm-hmm.
And covering the cost. We left really early at 2:15 in the morning, got out of town the previous Sunday, but we had a busy and active vacation. Now, I wouldn't have minded probably having more time to just relax and
just
read.
To be,
but
yeah.
My 15-year-old daughter Elena is like, "That's for losers, Dad. We gotta be active."
Vacations are for doing, not for being.
And so, but it did recharge the battery. And gotta say, for me, the biggest highlight was ziplining. I had never done that. It's so fun. It's like flying.
Yes.
I mean, when we talked about what's the superpower you'd want, I guess teleporting would be number one, but flying.
Yeah.
And it was. Once you take that first jump off and you realize that once you've done that, and we had seven different zip line
runs. Yeah.
It was really, really great.
So fun.
We did do whitewater rafting. So our whole family in a raft and with a wonderful guide. And that was on Tuesday of last week, and played mini golf. And
oh, fun. So whitewater rafting. I was supposed to go whitewater rafting with my kids. We were going to go out to like the Rockies and do some whitewater rafting. Mm. And because my kids have never been. I love whitewater rafting.
Yeah.
My kids have never been.
Yeah.
But COVID and all kinds of other things hit our family this summer as well, so we just never left town.
A week ago today, we hiked the Smoky Mountains, like 5 to 6 miles, and then to see this 80-foot waterfall, Rainbow Falls. People may have seen some of the pictures on Facebook from that, and then so that was a big part of the week. But
wonderful.
You got a lot of traveling and a lot of family time, and you test those relationships and your patience.
You test them and build them.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, so.
How about you? Any recap?
Yeah, the weekend was good, actually. We headed up to the fairgrounds in Chippewa and did their fair food stuff that they did this weekend. So we did that. That was delicious.
Give me a food or two that stood out.
I mean, cheese curds from the Optimist Club, for sure. Saturday morning, Dean and I, we went out on the patio to have coffee because it was like raining outside, but the patio was covered. And it was so lovely listening to the rain. I said, oh, Dean, it feels like camping.
Mm.
And then suddenly I said, you know what? I want a fire. So we built a fire in the fire pit.
Yeah.
And then I grabbed the stuff and I made breakfast on the grill.
Okay.
You know, eggs and sausage and potato wedges on the grill. And ate outside, and it was wonderful. We grilled pizzas that were fantastic.
Mm.
Last night I took the kids night swimming over at Lake Altoona. So we were out there after dark.
Warm day yesterday.
Yeah. So we had a great weekend. We had a great weekend.
I will cap it off. I did a bike ride from my house to the station and
back
yesterday. With a single gear bike, which you...
Oh, a fixie. That's amazing.
You appreciate gears and you appreciate your car more when you bike.
Yes, you do.
I'll tell you. Hillary, we do have, it's the Monday mailbag.
Yes.
Ask us anything, and we've got a listener
got
stepping
up here. Got a couple of questions here. So let's start. Jeannie wants to know, with all the technology today, how do you get family to engage on vacation? My kids are grown, but I hear this issue a lot from others. Good discussion question for you. I think that is a great discussion. You were just on vacation. Yeah. You want to go first?
I will.
Okay.
I think that, you know, again, we went about, it was about a 13-hour trip. Mm-hmm. And so certainly in the car, the plan was, and I think it generally worked out. I mean, you have time where people are either resting or on their electronic devices. Then you hope to have some time. We like to do this thing called the song game. Like, hey, just go ahead. You can sing part of any song that you remember.
Oh, okay.
And so that was done at a couple of different points during the trip. And so that's, I would say we probably did not do some of the family, like overall car bonding as much mm-hmm. as we might have, would have aspired. Then I think as the trip plays out, the big thing is, for us at least, again, please, it would, far from perfect, massively imperfect. But, I mean, trying to do activities together. So
yes.
From hiking to the whitewater rafting to zip
horseback riding.
We had as much fun playing mini golf as a family as we ever did. Yeah, horseback.
Yeah.
So all of that, you're not using your phone when you're doing
right.
it. So they say the family that prays together stays together. But doing activities together where you're not looking at your phone.
Right. You know, and I think for our family, it started when the kids were super young. We'd go on these long road trips, and we actually had the little TV things that you could put in. We never put them in until it was getting dark out if we were on a long, long trip. Like, that was what they got to do at the very end of the day. Otherwise, there was no technology. They were little, you know, we'd talk about the surroundings. We'd talk about, you know, what we were seeing. We'd play car games. We'd play bingo. We'd play I Spy, you know, and so I think that kind of laid that mm-hmm. groundwork. And now you're spot on with like the activities mm-hmm. and keeping the activities. I do have to admit it has been nice the last couple of years that they have like their music players, or my one daughter has a phone. Like, it is nice to have a little bit of quiet time in the car as well as a parent, you know.
I would just add to that a little bit. Like, I commend you and your family. I mean, some of the things between museums mm-hmm. or, you know, shows in the cities. I mean, you guys have really, you get, you're active and involved with your kids. Bike rides that you've done and things like that. I think, like, I read aloud to my wife. In fact, we read this whole book called Finding Calcutta. We're big Mother Teresa fans. And so
it's cool.
This woman who spent about 2 months with her back in the mid-90s, a college professor. So, and then the kids hear that. I mean, so, or an audio book is you know, something.
Yes.
Or maybe like Adventures in Odyssey
episodes. Right. So, no, awesome. Our other question of the morning is, why did you choose to work for WWIB WOGO?
I have a funny story.
Okay.
I mean, I actually, it was the mid-80s. I'd done radio in high school.
Okay.
Much like my son broke in here at WIB here in high school. And so in high school, WKTI, the FM of Milwaukee. But anyhow, I came to college, and it was the mid-80s. It was had some campus radio experience. And then I'd heard there was an opening on one of the country stations. But for whatever reason, as a young Christian, I called WWIB. It's so weird. I called and said, hey, what do you think about me as a Christian working a country? And they were like, you should apply here.
Okay.
That's what happened. I put my audition tape together. Got part-time work here. I don't know that I ever even applied for the other job.
Yeah.
So.
That's awesome. For me, it was really, and truly, it was like a God-led thing. I never, ever, ever saw myself doing radio. Yeah. I'm a registered nurse and, you know, work in healthcare and whatever. And I came on a partner pledge day just as a friend of Molly, who used to work here, just to like fill a little airtime and banter. And it went well, and they were like, oh, what's your radio experience? I'm like, you just heard it. That's it. And then, you know, I volunteered to help during some vacations, and then they had the Sunday morning position open up, so I applied.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it just evolved, and it was very much God-led. I mean, it was not something that I chose. It was something that just happened.
And we're so glad. You're so talented. Your personality, your openness, your laugh,
goodness.
Which someone else has told you is like sunshine, and it is. And so it's great. It's great.
It's crazy. It's not anything I ever envisioned in my life, but it's really good. So.
Even your radio voice, I think. So.
Oh.
Anyhow, it's very
thanks.
Good. And love being a part of the team here. And Caleb's tied up with some other things here mm-hmm. off air a bit this morning, but love having him as part of this team as well. And I know, just briefly from his story, I mean, growing up as a WIB listener in Rice Lake, and he can go back and go, hey, old man, I remember you on the M&M's in the morning.
Yes.
And lo and behold, getting to do the show with him. Thank you so much to our questioners, and fire away some more, and we'll save them for next Monday morning. Same bad time. Here's Casting Crowns. Well, I caught just briefly stopping by here on Friday after we got back from Tennessee about 3 in the afternoon, and I popped in here. And I saw some of the 6th and final picnic in the parking lot. I mean, Caleb, that day and the 6 in all, I mean, what a huge success.
We really enjoyed having everybody come out. Again, parking lot picnic was something that we just thought, well, hey, we've got a lot of space. We've got a lot of room on the calendar. So let's see what can come of this. So, yeah, 6 weeks, 6 different nonprofits, a bunch of different food trucks, and a lot of fun had by all, I do believe. So it was great.
Typically, people say win-win, but this seemed like a win on so many levels. I mean, the nonprofits, the food trucks, people had something to do in this restrictive year of 2020.
Right. I mean, hopefully it was something to look forward to each Friday. And again, when we look through the different nonprofits, Hope Village, Fierce Freedom, Teamwork Africa, Bob's House for Dogs, the Hope Renewal Center for Women and Children, and Feed My People Food Bank. We wanted to make you more and more aware of what they are doing. And in a year where it was difficult for a lot of nonprofits, still is difficult for a lot of nonprofits, seeing increased need and decreased giving, we wanted to really make you aware of those needs, of what they do in our community. And when it goes to the food trucks as well, a lot of them had major events they were not able to attend this year. And so I'm being able to encourage them. And you all did that. I heard more than once from the proprietors of the food trucks, it's like, everybody here just seems so happy. And you have no idea, brothers and sisters in Christ, you have no idea what that can do for the kingdom when you are just having a zest for life, enjoying being alive, enjoying being together, even when we have to be separate and social distance and masked and all these different things that are going on. When you are clearly enjoying the life that God has given you, that is a huge, huge testimony, and I thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. And just working with you behind the scenes, and not only on the show, but knowing that, I mean, Hope at the River had been a year ago, and we probably would have tried to do that. This year didn't happen in Chippewa, hopefully in the future. But instead, this springs up. I mean, 6 events,
wow.
And it's in 6 different nonprofits.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, things that we never would have maybe thought of if not for a year like this. But it was a blessing to be able to do it. And there were a lot of people working very hard here. And so I thank the staff that stayed late and gave up potential vacation days every single Friday for 6 weeks to make this happen for y'all. And we're very glad to do it.
Like a hardworking NFL quarterback, though, you got here early and you stayed late. Mm. And so we recognize it. Hey, how about the grand total of all the money raised, to the best of your knowledge, for the 6 nonprofits was?
$10,011.78.
Wow.
That is outstanding.
Yowzers.
And what, with Feed My People clearing $3,500, that's 14,000 meals. You know, that's amazing.
It's incredible, mm-hmm. Yeah. So we thank everybody who tipped so generously, because, again, these were tips and free will donations, and then business sponsors coming alongside as well. Thank you very much.
All right, it's a Monday, and it is the 24th of August, 237th day of the year. Tomorrow, 4 months until Christmas.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I know.
That is, wow. Yikes.
Yeah, what a year it's been, huh?
Okay. Well, we're all learning things all the time.
Yes.
And so we're about to impart on you things you didn't know yesterday.
But you will know in about 2 minutes.
Absolutely. Are you ready?
Let's go. Ladies first.
Competitive art used to be in the Olympics.
All right. There you go. Things you didn't know yesterday. Chef's hat has exactly 100 pleats.
Didn't know that. How about some cats are actually allergic to humans?
Really? The majority of your brain is fat.
High heels. What? High heels were originally worn by men.
Yes. Yes, they were.
Really?
Yeah.
So when did the change
occur? The high-heeled boots. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Come on. And back in old England, they were heeled shoes with the little buckle on it and the pink. Yeah, come on, guys.
That does not seem comfy.
No.
Okay, so before it was known as New York, it wasn't known as the Big Apple. It was known as New Orange.
Huh. Didn't know.
Is that how Syracuse in upstate New York became the Syracuse
Big Orange?
Apparently.
Maybe.
Queen Elizabeth II is actually a trained mechanic.
Really?
Yeah.
Things you didn't know yesterday. I don't think we mentioned this one. Stop signs used to be yellow.
Oh.
Huh.
Interesting.
Huh. How about the blob of toothpaste that sits on your toothbrush as a name? Nerdle.
Because they always say put a pea-sized amount for
put
children.
A nerdle.
Put a nerdle
put
on
a
it.
Put a nerdle on it. Dolphins have names for one another.
Aw, sea otters hold hands while they sleep.
Aww.
I did actually know that one.
Yes.
We know this because it's happened to us at the station
so many
more
times.
Than once. Squirrels are behind most power outages in the U.S.
It doesn't end well for the
Indeed.
Squirrels. Just saying. One quarter of all of your bones are located in your feet.
You have how many bones?
I don't know, 207?
Oh, I thought I was going to say 216.
I was going to say 27,
but yeah. One quarter of them are in your feet. Wow.
Yeah.
Things
yeah.
you didn't know yesterday
your
here in the Wake Up Show.
Your tarsals and your metatarsals. Yes, all those little bitty bones.
A lot of things that can get hurt when something is dropped on there.
So many.
This is probably my favorite factoid of all of these. The inventor of the Pringles can is now buried in one.
It's amazing.
There you go. cotton candy was invented by a dentist.
No.
Of course.
A cornflake in the shape of Illinois sold on eBay for $1,350.
Huh. A cloud can weigh more than 1,000,000 pounds.
Really?
Huh.
And bubble wrap was originally intended to be wallpaper.
I want to wallpaper awesome. My toddler's room with bubble wrap.
That would be something.
Or my room.
Oh,
fun
goodness.
Stuff.
Things
Good
you didn't
times.
Know yesterday. Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.